So in Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives authorizes President Obama to fund Syrian rebels.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I want to be clear. U.S. troops that have been deployed to Iraq do not and will not have a combat mission. Instead, they will support Iraq forces on the ground as they fight for their country against these terrorists. And in Syria, the on-the-ground combat will be done by the moderate opposition, which serves as the current best counterweight in Syria to extremists like ISIL.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We know that if we are joined by the international community, we can continue to shrink ISIL's sphere of influence, its effectiveness, its financing, its military capabilities, to the point where it is a manageable problem.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The big news yesterday was that the House of Representatives, in a bipartisan move with a number of Republicans and a number of Democrats voting against it, but it did pass authorization for President Obama to both fund and train rebels in Syria. This will now go before the U.S. Senate, vote expected this afternoon, which means the president has likely will receive his authority to fund these rebels. Now, who the rebels are, we don't know. What strings were put on these funds, we'll talk about today on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll get a full update from our government affairs director on Capitol Hill about the vote breakdown, who voted yes, who voted no, and why the split. You don't usually see this many Republicans and Democrats joining together both to pass or to oppose a piece of legislation and a funding bill like this. So we'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live. I also wanted to focus in on the more of the discussion about the potential of troops on the ground in Iraq to fight the Islamic State. And we've heard now mixed messages. Vice President Biden at an event yesterday talked about the potential of reassessing their initial strategy and boots being put on the ground. And, of course, you heard from Secretary of State John Kerry about this as well. We'll talk about that on the broadcast. But let me focus in right now on something that's very important. We found out yesterday that for our new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, to be on that bestsellers list for the e-book, that those sales will finish on midnight on Saturday. So this is a critical time if you want to help us to be on that bestsellers list so that this gets before the New York Times editorial board and their book review staff. And it has to be taken seriously if we make this list. We can only do it if you purchase a copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Specifically right now, though the paperback will be coming out, we need you to purchase an e-book. It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on iTunes. You can go to riseofisis.com and purchase your copy today. Specifically, we're talking about the ebook, folks. We've got just about 48 hours left to make that bestsellers list, and we can do it with your help. And you've got to really stand with us, purchase this book. It's available now on ebook. So if you purchase it, you will immediately be able to download it and read Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Everything has been going great, but we really need to make a strong push these final 48 hours. So if you can today, purchase Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, specifically the ebook. And if you've done so, tell your friends and family to do it as well. Let me explain why. One is to get yourself educated. Of course, this is really a definitive book on the Islamic State. There's nothing else like it out there. We've put this together over this summer without knowing how serious this threat would become so quickly to the United States. So it's definitive. You will really be an expert in ISIS. But part two is we want to get this message to a broader audience, an audience who won't listen to this broadcast, an audience who doesn't tune into conservative media, Fox News, or Christian broadcasting, and that's the liberal elite. And if we make their bestsellers list, they've got to listen. They've got to read the book. The book is called The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. Get your ebook today.
It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy, beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Jay Sekulow Live, as we've been discussing the threat of the Islamic State and what the United States will do, I want to go right to Capitol Hill with our Government Affairs Director, Sam Bennett, to talk about the vote yesterday in the House of Representatives. An interesting breakdown where you had a number of Republicans, a number of Democrats voting no, and of course this passing with bipartisan support. This is the authorization for President Obama to both provide funding and training. So we're talking about arming so-called moderate Syrian rebels. We're opposed to this. There's still not a lot of details about who exactly we're talking about arming, and we think we still need to express our outrage about this and also our opposition to funding bad actors. That if anyone is going to get these arms, if anyone's going to get this funding, they surely need to be vetted. And if they were vetted 2 years ago, that's too long ago. That's 2 years too long. It needs to be redone because a lot of things have changed on the ground in Syria, on the ground in places like Iraq, to assume that we are going to trust some Sunni Muslim rebel groups to fight back another Sunni Muslim rebel group when they were initially fighting the same enemy, and that they are going to be the reason why the Islamic State is eliminated seems like a strategy already doomed for failure. But I want to go to Stan Bennett. Stan, explain to people how this vote broke down and what it means.
It really was an interesting vote, Jordan. You said bipartisan support and also bipartisan opposition. We don't see this a lot on Capitol Hill these days. And really the reason for this was exactly what you described, the nature of the vote. This was not a vote to authorize a response to ISIS. If it had been that case, you would have seen a lot more members in support of the authorization. What this was a very narrow authorization specifically on the funding for those Syrian rebels. So this was something that triggered a lot more concern from members of Congress for the reasons that you outlined. We don't know who these moderate rebels are. At the end of the day, the House voted 273 to 156 to provide the president with that authorization. Again, it's $500 million to arm these rebels. It breaks down to about $100,000 per rebel. You had 71 Republicans and 85 Democrats voting against this authorization. And just kind of for our listeners' information, those 85 Democrats, most of them would have voted against this, even if it had been a broader authorization. These are Democrats who oppose almost any response to the ISIS threat. Those 71 Republicans, most of them voted against this for the reasons that we've been describing, that we don't know who these rebels are and that they are very uncomfortable arming them in a potential situation where they would be left with our weapons after this conflict. Jordan, I think most of those Republicans would have been in favor of a broader authorization for the president. So this was not them speaking out against a response to ISIS. This was them speaking out against providing $500 million of taxpayer money for a group that might be our enemy a year from now.
Folks, again, we are opposed to this idea of funding rebels that we don't know. We've been very vocal about that, even though it was likely that this would pass. And Stan, it's likely, you know, the Senate will take this up this afternoon. It's likely that it will pass there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so the Senate's going to take it up this afternoon. They're actually in joint session right now with the Ukrainian president, but this is going to come up later this afternoon in the Senate. And Jordan, Harry Reid is actually not going to allow amendments to the resolution. So the only vote that you'll have is on the underlying continuing resolution to fund the government. So we're not going to get the specific breakdown that we got in the House. Although I will tell you, Senator Manchin, for example, from West Virginia, he has been very vocal with these same concerns. He says that if there were a vote on funding the rebels, he would definitely be against it because he also has no assurances that it's not just going to send weapons into the hands of our enemies. So if we had a vote in the Senate on that basic amendment, you would see the same thing you saw in the House, Republicans and Democrats joining in to bring up an opposing viewpoint.
Folks, again, this is something critical that we've got to watch out for. What we're seeing is President Obama is getting the authorization and the financial support to carry out his so-called strategy. Let me go to David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ, because, David, now that we see the president's got his authorization, there's a lot of concern, though, because it's been a little bit of double talk from the president's team. I mean, from the vice president to the secretary of state on what it means to not have boots on the ground and what the real definition of that is, and also almost an acknowledgement that their strategy, that now the House of Representatives and likely the Senate will support, that their strategy is not going to work and that they're going to have to shift. I mean, it seems like they're already thinking post this strategy.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows the strategy is not going to work. I mean, I don't think the strategy was ever intended to work. I think it's intended to kick the can down the road. And something happened very interesting yesterday. Yesterday, we reported on that the chairman of Joint Chiefs, General Dempsey, said that he might reach a point where he would recommend ground troops to the president. Well, yesterday, after that, the president went and in a speech and basically said, no ground troops, no way, no how, not going to happen. So what we speculated about yesterday, I think, was true, and that was the general was trying to send a public signal subtly that he does not agree with these limits. And the president of the United States, as the commander-in-chief, was later, one day later, reimposing those limits definitively. And so I think right now we've got a situation where there's going to be an increasing breach in strategic thinking between the commander-in-chief and his generals.
Folks, this is a really critical time to understand what this war is about. I'm going to call it a war to destroy the Islamic State. Why it is important that we take it seriously, the threat it is to the United States, but also to understand who is the Islamic State. You know, we've talked about this, and you see it in the news very quickly and briefly, but who is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who now calls himself a caliph, basically the king of this new Islamic whole control of a region, a caliphate, the term. What do these terms mean? How is it related to even a group like Hamas, the Islamic Resistance Movement, this idea of not just terrorism, but terrorism, violence, putting together whole militaries? So we're talking about 30,000-plus strong military, and also governing, taking in. You know, they've got funding coming in, finances coming in. They're selling oil to the world. This is a different threat than al-Qaeda, though it certainly stemmed from that. It's more radical, and it's certainly a different kind of on-the-ground battle. This is not terrorist hiding in caves. These are a military that is taking over cities, town by town, village by village. We have a brand new book out. The ebook is available now. The paperback will be available in a couple of weeks. And it's a critical time for us in these next 48 hours because we want to be on that bestsellers list. And we're on track to be on the ebook bestsellers list of the New York Times. But we've got 48 more hours to be counted towards that list. So if you purchase an ebook copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, you will be helping us get on that list. Now, why is that important? It's not just for us. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is for this book to be taken seriously, for many different eyes to be on these words so that they've got to read the book. People who would not regularly pick up a book by Jay Sekulow. We're talking about the New York Times editorial team, their book review staff, the liberal elite who are not going to tune into this broadcast, who are not going to tune into Fox News. But if you make their bestsellers list, they certainly have got to take your book seriously. They've got to read it. They don't have to like it, but they've got to read it. They even have to review it. So, folks, in these next 48 hours, we need you to purchase a copy, an ebook copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And you can do it on Amazon, iTunes. You can also do it at Barnes & Noble. All three of those locations have got a way. So whether you've got a Kindle or a Nook or an iPad, or even if you want to, you know, you could buy the digital copy to read it on your computer. There's different ways to do that. It's just a very critical time in these next 48 hours where if you haven't done it yet, we really are encouraging you to purchase an ebook to help Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Get yourself educated if you've already done so, encourage your friends and family to buy a copy of the book. And right now we're focusing in on the ebook because we know that it's Saturday at midnight, that New York Times bestsellers list, that closes, the sales close that count towards that. And so we'll find out not until next week, but that's when it stops. We do know that. So we've got a 48 hours we can really, again, help this book rise up on the bestsellers list. So I want you to do right now, I'm going to play the song that comes with the book. If you get this ebook today, you'll be able to download this exclusive song that was written and performed by the Jay Sekulow Band just for this book and for this issue. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Go to riseofisis.com, purchase this book as we play this song, and we'll be right back. We'll talk more about what's happened on Capitol Hill.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy, beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I hope you took that opportunity to purchase your copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Specifically, we're focusing in on the ebook because the ebook bestsellers list, because our book came out this week. So you can actually, it's no longer a pre-order for the ebook. For the paperback, it is. But for the ebook, immediately when you purchase it, you can download it. You can be reading this book in 5 minutes from now as you hear me speak if you purchase it now. And we're pushing the ebook today because we've got about 48 hours left. Saturday night at midnight, the bestsellers list sales numbers, those close. So you no longer, the sales don't count towards getting on the New York Times bestsellers list for ebooks. And we folks are very close. We know we can do this with your support. We can get onto that bestsellers list. And the reason why, it's not a vain reason. It's so that the people at the New York Times have got to read the book. And it's so these liberal elite have got to take it seriously. We're going to reach a whole new audience with your help by purchasing the ebook today. A whole new audience, people that would never tune into this broadcast just because they're so dead set in their views. People who are not going to tune into conservative media or a place like Fox News. That we've got to reach them a different way. We've put together a really excellent book here, the definitive book on the Islamic State. No one has anything like this available because we were already preparing for it. That's what we do at the ACLJ. As lawyers, we have that background, preparing for what's coming in the future, but also having some foresight here and knowing that this was a threat that was growing, a threat that was real. And now we have a president who, again, is launched airstrikes into another country, a country he pulled the troops out of, Iraq. A president who's been very indecisive about what to do in Syria. Now we've decided, after they've been severely weakened and really infiltrated by a lot of these Islamic jihadist terrorists, these rebels in Syria and their so-called moderates. I want you to take a listen to Secretary of State John Kerry. Yesterday, he was being grilled on Capitol Hill about what is our strategy in Iraq and in Syria, and how will we use the U.S. troops? There's a lot of U.S. troops already on the ground in Iraq.
U.S. troops that have been deployed to Iraq do not and will not have a combat mission. Instead, they will support Iraq forces on the ground as they fight for their country against these terrorists. And in Syria, the on-the-ground combat will be done by the moderate opposition, which serves as the current best counterweight in Syria to extremists like ISIL.
That's Secretary Kerry. Now, he was being grilled on Capitol Hill about, this idea of we're putting troops there. Then there was this idea of, well, they could be even moving forward. I want to go to David French. David, the idea here is that in Syria, I just want to be honest with people. To get the training to these rebels, to get the funding to these rebels, and to get the arms to these rebels, I mean, it would seem like it takes some kind of boots on the ground to do that. Does it just mean that when they say that, they just mean that we're not, directly sending combat troops? But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be U.S. Military officials in harm's way.
Well, it's entirely possible that we may end up with boots on the ground in Syria that we don't know about, that we're not told about. But I think the main way that they've been trying to supply and arm these rebels is through Jordan. In other words, having moderate rebels come to Jordan, get some training and equipment, and then go back into Syria. And that's an incredibly limited method of providing support to these rebels if you're going to do it. And to further illustrate the limits, we're talking about 5,000 rebels. 5,000 rebels out of, by some estimates, more than 100,000 total in the country. And that's a strategy to defeat ISIS? That makes no sense. 5,000 is not going to beat 31,000 in ISIS. It's not going to beat the 100,000 other jihadists. And it's going to risk, as we've said from the beginning, American weapons, American money, American training, all of that being put into the hands of jihadist rebels.
I mean, even if you find a couple thousand decent moderates, and we use that term, it's not the way we'd think of a moderate person, folks. I mean, these were already people who took up arms, very violent ways to overthrow the Assad regime. They all have Islamist elements. Typically, it's sectarian, Sunni versus Shia. So you've got these different elements. To say moderate, to act as if this is a clear, it's a mix, it's of different people in Syria, is really not the case. case. I mean, it's very sectarian. And so we've got to, again, understand who you're fighting. Let's say you get a couple thousand trained and armed. As David said, that's not going to do it. And instead, what's going to happen? Well, those sophisticated weapons, even that funding, is going to fall in the hands right into the Islamic State. We've already seen this happen before in this region of the world. Just remember Libya and Benghazi and what happened there. But this is a different threat even there. This is a more organized threat. I mean, they have declared an Islamic State. They are not hiding. They are not hiding in caves in Afghanistan. They are in Iraq, taking over cities, repainting, you know, the logos of the town, running the court systems, running financial systems, running medical systems. The Islamic State needs to be taken seriously. I want you to get a copy of our ebook. We really need to focus in on that these next 48 hours. Today, you can do it at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and through iTunes. It's A Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Help us get on that bestsellers list so that we reach a whole new audience with the truth about this threat. This is a very real threat. And guys, I also want to talk about this terror plot that was uncovered in Australia. Talk to people about that, David. This again, if you don't believe that this threat can be on your doorstep very soon, we're already seeing, even in the United States, some of this radicalism inspired by a jihadist-style Islam, and we've seen it before with terror attacks, obviously, but this is different. This is Islamic State directly related.
Absolutely. There was a threat in Australia, a plot that was broken up to kidnap a member of the public in broad daylight, execute them by beheading them on the spot, and then leave their dismembered body on the ground covered in the ISIS flag. I mean, you don't get more gruesome than that. And that was a plot in Australia. We've had ISIS-related arrests in the United States. There are ISIS supporters who are tweeting pictures of American landmarks from the United States. So this is not just a threat that is over there in the Middle East. This is a threat that is coming home to an awful lot of us in the Western world. Australia, the United States, Great Britain has more fighters in fighting for ISIS than British Muslims who've enrolled and volunteered for the British military. So this is a very real threat.
Stan, let me go to you on Capitol Hill. Were there any limitations put on by the House of Representatives, and is there any potential in the Senate where they can revisit this funding? They can revisit what they've authorized. I mean, explain to people exactly what they've authorized the president to do.
Yeah, they've authorized the $500 million in funding for the Syrian rebels. There is a December 11th restriction that the House added to it. My sense, Jordan, is that in the Senate, there is not going to be any opportunity for amending this. The Senate is going to take up the limitations that were approved in the House authorization and pass it without amendment. And basically, the reason for that is Majority Leader Reid does not want to put his Senate Democrats, who are up for re-election, in a position of having to take a vote on authorizing a broad war, so to speak, before they go back and ask for a vote. So I think the broader debate is going to happen when they return after the elections. But let me just follow up on the point that you've been making and that David's been making about Secretary Kerry's statement from yesterday, because this is getting a lot of play in the Senate. He specifically did not say that we won't need boots on the ground to him in this effort. He just said that we are going to be counting on these 5,000 rebels who we're going to arm to win that effort on the ground. So I go back to what you and David said about nobody thinking that this plan will succeed. I think the secretary's comments suggest that even the president knows that his plan is likely to fail. But the reason that he put this back on Congress and the reason that the Senate will not amend it, that they will just pass it as is because the president wants Congress holding the bag and they don't want to take a broader vote than that.
Get Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We've got about 48 hours to get this on the New York Times bestsellers list for ebooks. You can do it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or iTunes. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Let's really force the hand of the liberal elite, I guess force the eyes would be a better term, to make them read Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We can do it with your help. One, you need to read this book. You need to be educated on the Islamic State. But two, we need to make sure others read it, people we would not usually be able to reach through this broadcast, through Christian media, or through conservative media. We can do it by getting on that bestsellers list. We've got 48 hours to do so for the ebook. So purchase it. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or iTunes.
In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., joined by David French in our media centers in Franklin, Tennessee. Folks, we are continuing to talk about the ISIS threat. This is something that we saw coming, and David's going to talk to you in just a moment about the book that we have authored, warning about the threat. And folks, let me just say a word on the importance on this book, because we right now have a commander-in-chief who is not being straightforward with us about who this threat is, about what makes up ISIS and what their goals are, the effort to achieve a global caliphate. And folks, when you have a commander-in-chief that is not accurately identifying who the enemy is, it becomes even more important for all of us to understand the threat that we are facing. That is what this book is intended to do, is to arm you with the facts about the threat of ISIS, or the threat of ISIL as they're called now, the Islamic State, and arming you with the facts for how the United States needs to respond and the threat that it poses, not only overseas, folks, but to our homeland specifically. So, David, this is why we've written The Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, and this is why it's so important for all of our listeners to read up, to be educated, because they're not going to get the truth from our commander-in-chief.
That's exactly right. I mean, the commander-in-chief is actively deceiving the American people, calling ISIS, the Islamic State, not Islamic, minimizing them by saying they're not a state when they control more territory than any jihadist group in history, when they've declared the existence of a caliphate. You know, we write in the book that ignorance is the enemy of our democracy. In other words, when the American people don't know what's happening, we often don't know how to instruct our leaders, how to direct our elected leaders to defend us and to look out for our best interests. And so what this book does is it gives you the tools you need to defeat that ignorance, not just to learn yourself, but to share with your neighbors, with your friends, the real threat. And Dan, as we've been seeing from the news, the threat is incredibly real.
It is. And as I've been talking to Capitol Hill, you know, there is a question about what authorization the president of the United States needs to respond to this threat. And I what I'm hearing on the Hill, and frankly, a sentiment that I echo, David, is that true leadership on this issue would have been if the president would have, first of all, acknowledged the threat of ISIS, something that he did to a certain extent. But then it would have been to vow to eradicate that threat without putting any conditions on it. Instead, what the president did is he took all of the options that he was not comfortable with off the table. Specifically, he said no boots on the ground, even though the follow-up strategy, David, acknowledged that there are going to need to be boots on the ground. But instead, the president pursued this strategy of asking Congress to authorize $500 million to arm 5,000 Syrian rebels who we don't really know who they are. We don't have any real guarantee that a year from now they may not switch alliances, that they might align themselves with ISIS, and they might use those weapons that are provided by the United States taxpayer to actually fight against us. And I actually thought that Senator Graham put it very well when he said the worst case scenario is that an Arab army that the United States arms goes into Syria and then ISIS beats them. And David, I would say there's probably one scenario that's even worse than the one that Senator Graham describes, and that is if those 5,000 rebels that we put $500 million worth of weapons into their hands, if they go and they actually join ISIL and then fight against the United States.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the likely outcome here. I think 5,000 is a drop in the bucket here to take on ISIS. It's much more likely they'll march in with American weapons, American training, and switch sides. I mean, this has happened before. You can read all about the threat on Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We have two more days to get that book on the bestseller list, to spread the word and to sound the alarm.
It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy: beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I'm joined by David French, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, and Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs. And we will continue to talk about these statements from General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about the potential of U.S. troops on the ground in Iraq, and also the Iraqi military. Can we really trust them? Are they really with us? But I first want to get an update on what's going on in the House of Representatives and in the U.S. Senate from Stan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Stan, Congress is moving quickly to try to get out of town this week with the upcoming November elections, and generally it looks like the president will get some authorization to support these rebel groups in Syria, though House Republicans have tried to put limitations on that. A limitation like this funding ends December 11th, and we'll have to reassess the situation then.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. And ultimately, I think actually the president wants Congress holding the bag on this. What he has done is he has asked Congress for authorization to arm these Syrian rebels, and yet he's gone out and talked like this is going to be an authorization to respond to ISIS. So our listeners really need to understand what the House of Representatives is debating today. They are not debating whether or not the United States is going to respond to ISIS. I think almost every member of Congress supports that. But the president has said he is going to move forward on his plan, and he has only asked Congress to authorize the portion of this plan that I think he knows is likely to fail, and that is the arming of these rebels who have not been thoroughly vetted. What is going to happen today? They are engaging right now and through the afternoon in debate on that measure. It is an amendment to the continuing resolution to fund the government. The vote to arm those rebels in the House of Representatives is going to take place around 4 or 5. My best guess, Jordan, is that it will pass. However, there are literally scores of both Republicans and Democrats who will oppose that measure. So that's the key vote to watch. If it passes, the next vote will be on the underlying measure, the continuing resolution to fund the government through the elections and sort of take it out of the political process. And I just got to tell you, I really think that true leadership from the president on this one would have been laying out an entire plan to respond to ISIS and then asking Congress to authorize all of it. The president did not do that. That would have required political accountability on both his part and on Congress's part, and that's just something that we're not very good at in Washington, D.C. So around 4 or 5 o'clock, the House of Representatives is going to vote to fund these Syrian rebels.
And David, the idea here that we're generally talking about Syrian rebels is also a troubling part of this analogy and why we have a petition opposing funding potential jihadists. And the idea that Congress has not been informed enough necessarily, especially if you've got serious splits going on within both parties, so it's not just a partisan Republican-Democrat issue, that they don't know enough about what groups President Obama wants to fund and how do we get the funding and the support and the arms to these groups.
Well, and how could they possibly know? We don't have boots on the ground in Syria. We don't have military forces in Syria to separate the good guys from the bad guys, if there are even a significant number of quote-unquote good guys in Syria. Look, if we vote to fund Syrian rebels and arm Syrian rebels, I can virtually guarantee that some of those weapons that American taxpayers pay for will fall into the hands of jihadists, maybe even ISIS itself. That's already happened. It's already happened that our own trained and funded rebels have crossed sides and joined ISIS. It's already happened that weapons that we have paid for have fallen into the hands of ISIS. All that's already happened. And what Congress would do if it votes to fund this and to train and arm these rebels is just make sure that ISIS gets more weaponry.
The only sliver of hope I see in this is the potential timeline change, that this has got some limitations. Now, Than, would that ever survive the U.S. Senate? A limitation on the president's power to do this ending, you know, in mid-December?
You know, I think it's got a chance to, Jordan, and here's the only reason why. I think Senate Democrats, more than anyone, are interested in getting out of town and facing their own elections, and they don't want to take this vote before that happens. It's a sad state in political affairs and in our government affairs when you have a threat like ISIS, a threat to our homeland, and it sure seems like Senate Democrats, and, you know, I'm not even just going to put this on Senate Democrats, but Washington, D.C. as a whole wants to delay the overall debate on this until after they go back and get reelected. It's not something that should be on the table. The limitation, I agree with you, Jordan, the limitation is a good thing that the House of Representatives is putting on, but I think the motivation behind Senate Democrats to go along with something like that is so that they don't have to take the hard vote until they go back and ask for their constituents' vote.
Folks, we've got to make our voice loud and clear on this. We have a petition opposing funding to any potential Syrian jihadist online at ACLJ.org. You can also join the petition by phone, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And I also want to make clear, we've got our new book out. And if you've got an e-reader, and let me ask David, David, if you've got an e-reader, is this available on Nook already as well?
It's available on every e-reader that's out there in a popular format, Kindle, Nook, Apple. Any of those, if you got a Kindle app on your iPad, it'll work. If a Kindle app on your Android device, it'll work. So any kind of e-reader format you've got, if you go to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble, or to Apple iBooks, you can get it immediately.
So it's not just a pre-order, folks. If you want the e-copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, you can purchase it now and get it now on your e-reader, on any of those e-reader devices, as David said, through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble, or going to iBooks through iTunes. So you can now read the book. And if you'd like to order the paperback copy, you can pre-order that now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And we encourage you, you know, if you prefer that copy, to do that or get both, because it's very important. We want to get on the New York Times bestsellers list, and not just for our own purposes to say, oh, this is a bestseller. It's really to change the discussion about the Islamic State and to get a serious text, a serious book, an analysis about who the Islamic State is, about this threat that we're facing, onto the bestsellers list so that the New York Times can't ignore it. And folks, we can only do that if you purchase a copy today. And you can pre-order the paperback. You can order and receive immediately the ebook. So that's available now. The second you purchase that through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or iBooks, you will get your copy downloaded right to your device, and you can read the book 5 minutes from now. So, folks, I actually want to play a song that comes with the purchase of the book. We've played it a couple times to give you an opportunity to buy the book. Let's play a couple of minutes of that so that people have a chance to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or through iTunes and iBooks and download the book now. They can pay and download the book now or order their paperback copy. We really need them to do so. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. Let's do that while we listen to the song that you get the download code for with your purchase of the ebook or paperback.
Some people will descend, and what is now has been. Should ever see.
Folks, when we get back from this next break, we're going to talk about the potential of U.S. troops in Iraq. And it's not just us talking about the potential. It's the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, Martin Dempsey. General Dempsey has talked about this potential, which is different than what the president is saying. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, can we trust the Iraqi military to really do the job and defeat ISIS? Or how much of the Iraqi military can we trust to do that with, again, the weapons and training that we provided them? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I do want to, though, go quickly again to Stan Bennett, because, Stan, to remind people, if they're just joining us again, because we were playing the song so people had time to purchase the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, we expect a vote on this today on Capitol Hill when it comes to some kind of funding for Syrian, quote, moderate rebels. Though, folks, these are not uniformed moderates. You can't walk around Syria and say, okay, that's a moderate rebel, okay, that's a member of ISIS.
Yeah, the vote that we're likely to have today is in the House of Representatives to authorize that $500 million in funding for those 5,000 rebels. And by the way, that figure, Jordan, we can talk about this more after the break, but that is something that is really bothering Senate Democrats, especially Joe Manchin. It's essentially $100,000 per Syrian rebel, and the House of Representatives is likely to approve that this afternoon.
Folks, we need you to speak up loud and clear that even with this funding, it doesn't have to go to known jihadists. They've got to do their due diligence and make sure no funding goes to jihadists. If you support that, call Adrian to our petition, 877-989-2255, or go to aclj.org and purchase today your copy of Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It's available as an ebook now. No more waiting on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks.
No, I can't stand it.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's the greatest jihadist threat the world has ever seen. ISIS, the Islamic State, is launching a worldwide attack. Their strategy, beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. Also included, a powerful new song, Where I Stand, by the Jay Sekulow Band. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.
Father in heaven, hear our prayer. Strengthen your souls, lost in
we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. The song you hear, by the way, is the song that our band, an original, Where I Stand, and it's about the whole situation, the conflict, Christian persecution. Also, one of the lines in there actually came from Jacob Abedini when he told his mother that his heart was crying for his father, and that's in the song as well. When you get the book, by the way, you get the song. So it's part of the package. Now, here's what we're trying to do. As Jordan just mentioned, we're trying to get on the bestsellers list for the New York Times. That's a big undertaking. Folks, we want to, as Jordan said, make sure this is read and make sure it's widely distributed. And we want to make sure it's our chance to really educate
the entire country on the threat we're facing with ISIS. And also the tie-in with ISIS and Hamas, and the fact that it's Christians and Jews in the crosshairs of these organizations. So you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to Apple iBooks and buy the book right now. And I want to encourage you to do that. We need to get it on the bestsellers list. It's a big undertaking. We know that. So we need your help on this. So I'm urging you to buy it today and tell your friends and get it out on social media. The book is called Rise of ISIS. We can't afford to, obviously, you know, you look at the situation, folks. You can't afford to ignore what's really going on with ISIS. I mean, this is a serious threat, but you need to know who they are. So it's Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore. It's with Simon & Schuster as the publisher, with Howard Books. We need you to buy it. I'm encouraging. We never have asked you to do this before. We are asking you to do it here. It's very important because information you're hearing on radio, by the way, a lot of this will also, much of it, obviously there's a lot more in the book than we can go on radio. But for instance, the Council of American Islamic Relations, you ready for this one? Jordan's going to lay this out, folks. CARE is the PR firm, basically, for the Islamic organizations around, certainly in the United States. And you remember when the president made that statement, this is not, the ISIL is not Islamic, which, think about that for a moment. It's so absurd, I can't even believe it. Okay, I mean, ISIL is not Islamic. Tell that to Khalif Ibrahim. But a step further is what CARE is doing here and the tie-in with Hamas. And this is why we want you to get the book. Jordan, get into that.
Yeah, the Council on American Islamic Relations, that's known as CARE, they wanted President Obama in his speech on Wednesday to reject the jihadists, as they call, misappropriation of Islamic terms and concepts. Obviously, President Obama did what CARE wanted there. But he also wanted to go a step further. And it's not necessarily that President Obama did this, but I want to put the terminology because we're connecting the dots here for you. This is from CARE's press release. To recognize that the terrorist group, that's the Islamic State, was created by, quote, the lack of freedom and justice in the region. Now, guess what? And they use freedom and justice throughout. Guess what? The Muslim Brotherhood's political party in Egypt, which was just recently disbanded by a court in Egypt because it was a terrorist organization, was called. It wasn't called the Vote for the Muslim Brotherhood Party. It was called the Freedom and Justice Party. So they're using very specific terminology because their allegiance to the Muslim Brotherhood. So now you're seeing the battles between Islamists come to front. Who is the lead Islamist group? Remember, for a while, it was the Muslim Brotherhood because they had actually had this piece of land. They were like the new Taliban, but that didn't last very long for them. But they're using the same language. And of course, the Muslim Brotherhood's linked to Hamas. But to put freedom and justice that way, I knew right when I read, I said, wait, I know freedom and justice. That's the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. They're telling you. They tell you who they are if you actually read between the lines.
Okay, so you understand, folks, what we're really talking about. The interrelation of these organizations is unreal. So now let's complicate it more. So we're going to back the moderate Syrian rebels. Well, who are these people? I mean, and you've also got the situation where, and we'll get on this also a little bit later in the broadcast, where ISIS is now up to 31,000. When we started talking about this last week, 20,000. I mean, they've gained as much as, they're saying they're gaining as much as 500 to 1,000 a day. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab a call here, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Alan in Texas on line one. Alan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing? My question is for Mr. Carey. If he's listening, what do you call it when you're bombing another country? If it's not called war, can you give me another terminology?
Let's play what he said. Let's play what he said. Here's what he said.
Is the United States at war with ISIS? It sure sounds from the president's speech that we are.
I think that's the wrong terminology. What we are doing is engaging in a very significant counterterrorism operation. And it's going to go on for some period of time. If somebody wants to think about it as being at war with ISIL, they can do so. But the fact is, it's a major counterterrorism operation that will have many different moving parts.
Well, so you're right. So they don't want to call it a war because you know why, folks? Again, it's the narrative of the president here. It's against that narrative. So it is a counterterrorism operation, but it's a war. Of course it's a war. You got military operations of significant proportions that are being engaged here. And I think it's duplicitous to say otherwise. Having said that, I'm still trying to figure out who in the world are the Syrian moderates, because the Syrian moderates, do we have that soundbite from Steve Sotloff's family or the family representative? Here's your Syrian moderates.
Stephen was sold at the border.
He was sold at the border.
Yes, we believe that these so-called moderate rebels that people want us, our administration, to support. One of them sold him probably for something between $25,000 and $50,000 to ISIS, and that was the reason that he was captured.
So there you have it. I mean, that's what we're talking about, folks. This is a strategy we better be really, really careful about. Really careful about. Now, we've got some updates on the book. And folks, I got to say, first of all, you're a fantastic group of people, our audience here at J Secular Live. And your support for our work at the ACLJ is, I can't even begin to describe it, how thrilled we are. But let me tell you what I just got word. Amazon, number 15. And of all books that are being sold right now, we're number 15. We're number 2 in political science on Amazon. That's a subdued. Number 12 in all of ebooks, nonfiction, we're number 12. Paperback at Barnes & Noble, number 2. Just got word. Looks like some major retailers. I'm talking about big box retailers. The Walmarts of the world are picking this book up. Folks, our voice collectively here could be gigantic on an issue that's going to go beyond this presidency. The next president of the United States is going to have to be dealing with ISIL. This is a huge, huge issue. Whether they're called ISIS or ICE, because, I mean, it's IS, it's Islamic State. That's what they call themselves. Or the Islamic State in Syria and the Levant, which is the greater Middle East, or the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. Same group, multiple names, same danger. Jordan's going to let you know. Folks, get the book. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also Apple iBooks and bookstores now, looks like, around the country.
And purchase this book. And first of all, it's to get yourself educated. Go to riseofisis.com so you can purchase at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through iTunes. But also, it's really to open this up to a new audience. We've never done this before at the ACLJ, never written a book like this. We want to get this into the hands and in front of the eyes of people who would not normally listen to this radio broadcast or conservative media, like the New York Times book review team, and force them to have to do a book review of this if it makes their bestseller list. You can be a part of that. In fact, you're the only way that will happen. Go to riseofisis.com and purchase.
Are we blind to all of the
In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS, how this terrorist group fits within the world of other groups, and more importantly, what can be done about it. It's called The Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. You can order the book right now online at riseofisis.com. That's riseofisis.com. Order now.